Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The most valuable commodity I know of is information. Wouldn't you agree?
I got $5. This is a run to the left.
How many tackles can one man break?
You're saying that humans need fantasy to make life bearable.
Humans need fantasy to be human.
My goodness, that was good.
You guys are pros. The best.
Relentless, refusing to give up.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Welcome to the Week 13 Fantasy Flex Podcast presented by Prize Picks. I am your host, Chris Raybon. I'm joined, as always, by my dude, Sean Kerner. Sean, I know we're kind of trying to still get over the Monday night massacre that was the betting on the Seattle Seahawks.
The Monday night massacre? How about the Week 12 massacre? I just got my ass handed to me. I'm happy that week is over. Bad weeks happen, but you know, that was by far the worst week of the season for me, possibly my entire career. So onward and upward, we can't control the past. So I'm controlling the future. Gonna bounce back this week. I typically follow up like my really bad weeks with really good weeks. So always have to stay positive, stick with the process. Bad runs happen, but yeah, happy week 12 is over. How was week 12 for you?
It was middling. I've had a losing record as well. Not quite over, but yeah, it wasn't great. I would have liked Seattle to cover last night. DFS was pretty good though. That's been more consistent, which makes sense. You know, you're, you know, betting is obviously, you know, 55-45 proposition, even if you're good. But DFS has been pretty consistent, especially in cash games, and been, and also just identifying, you know, which receivers to play in tournaments. So that's been good. And that's what we're going to talk about on this pod. So,
and by the way, congrats. You beat me in our Action Network League to bring my record to 10-2. You killed me. So just adding insult to injury.
In 2 weeks, I've also beat you in the top prop league, if you still pay attention to that one. Shout out to Matthew Friedman.
Yeah, I think I have like CMC. Yeah, we're not allowed to drop ads in that league. So I'm like playing guys that are on buy and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, the league I'm paying attention to, you absolutely destroyed me.
Yeah, I told you I'm coming, man. You're gonna give me a, you're gonna make me the underdog last week. I was like, I don't know, man. I'm telling you. let's talk about Thursday night showdown. Then we'll get into the main slate. We'll build lineups. We'll do all that good stuff. And let's start with two teams that we saw last Thursday. We're seeing them again this Thursday. The Dallas Cowboys going to New Orleans to face the Saints. And a few interesting things of note for this game. Number one, pay attention to the news if you're playing this slate. Dallas has had some COVID issues with their coaching staff. And Amari Cooper, obviously, you know, he may not be back. It's reported now as we record this on Tuesday. So he's not feeling well. I believe Mike McCarthy is going to miss this game as well. So it's kind of a situation where we could see more news trickle in, you know, leading up to kickoff, and guys could be ruled out. And then for New Orleans, Taysom Hill reportedly taking the first team reps at quarterback, which probably long overdue at this point. I know they've had, you know, a couple of short weeks in there, and so it's been tough, but probably a change we're going to see, even though Sean Payton has been non-committal, but that seems more like gamesmanship. So we probably are going to get Taysom Hill, hopefully against Dak Prescott and, you know, a Cowboys offense that's stacked except for Amari Cooper, who looks like at this point is going to miss the game. So Sean, given all of that, I guess carnage or just like upheaval, who do you like in a captain spot for this slate?
I think it's got to be Taysom Hill. Just because all the things you mentioned, I think Sean Payton's being coy right now. We'll know by Thursday if he's starting or not. But I think if he starts, with all the turmoil, the Cowboys coaching staff, we don't know who's going to be able to coach come Thursday. That's a really tough task, trying to game plan against a quarterback like Taysom Hill on a short week. So I think he just goes wild here. He's one of those quarterbacks like, Cam Newton last year where, he kind of sabotages all the touchdown production. So, he'll likely be involved with any passing touchdown. And, his rushing upside, especially near the goal line, means he might be the favorite for, the rushing touchdown. So I just think he's going to be the guy here and love using him as a captain because I don't know who you stack him with. But on the Cowboys side, like you said, if Cooper's out, I think a guy like Michael Gallup might be sneaky in the captain slot. Obviously, C.D. Lamb would be as well, but there's going to be some options there if Cooper's out. Just the Cowboys have a ton of weapons, so it's harder to narrow down one, but I'm just going to make it easy. I mean, it's about time we get a Taysom Hill game, so I'm probably going to go heavy Taysom Hill in my captain slot.
Yeah, it's Hill for me on the New Orleans side. If he plays, he's a top 10 quarterback in my rankings if he starts, so... and that's just off the rushing ability. And the Saints are probably going to go run heavy because their receiving game is just as big of a mess as their quarterback situation in truth. And on the Cowboys, I totally agree with that Gallup call because I think CeeDee Lamb, if Cooper's out, New Orleans, they're going to game plan to stop Lamb. You have Marshon Lattimore, who you can kind of stick on him. And Gallup this year has just been killing man coverage, which the Saints like to play a lot of. He's averaging 3.3 yards per route against man coverage. That is the most on the Dallas Cowboys. And last year, Gallup and Lamb's yards per route run against man coverage was pretty equal. So, there wasn't a huge discrepancy there when facing man coverage. And that's because Gallup, obviously, is going to get more single coverage. So I really do like that Gallup call. I think, go a little lighter on the running backs in this one just because the Saints have such a good run defense. In terms of stopping running backs on handoff. So, and Zeke's a little banged up too. So it's going to be closer to a 50-50 split between him and Pollard. I think I have Zeke RB20 and Pollard RB26 this week. So I'm not expecting Zeke to, really control this backfield as he manages that injury. All right. How about DFS cheat codes? What do you like a little further down the board?
Yeah. So I already mentioned him, but Michael Gallup, I think, is the cheat code for this slate. You already mentioned it, but he tends to do a lot better against man coverage. Saints play man coverage at the second highest rate, and like you said, Lattimore is probably on Lamb, so this is a blow up spot for Gallup, especially if Cooper's out. It sounds like Cedric Wilson might be out as well, so yeah. Gallup should run around over 90% of the time with arguably the best matchup on the field almost every play, so love him. Despite the tough matchup, I do think Tony Pollard's a sneaky play. He almost came through for me on that Thanksgiving slate. I think he was real down on the one, and then Zeke got a 1 yard touchdown, but he almost had a massive game. So even if Zeke plays, they probably will limit him. Pollard's the kind of back. He doesn't need that many touches to go off. So just a couple more touches could be huge here. And if Zeke, if he suffers an in-game setback and they rest him the rest of the game, Pollard could go off here. So I like Pollard's upside. And then on the Saints side, I think even if Alvin Kamara suits up, Mark Ingram's sneaky as well. We saw last year when Taysom Hill was under center, Latavius Murray was pretty productive, and that was when Alvin Kamara was active as well. I think defenses have had a hard time scheming up, Taysom Hill and, north-south runner like Latavius Murray or Mark Ingram. So I think it helps open up holes when Taysom Hill is in there. So Ingram, if Kamara's limited at all, Ingram has, RB2 kind of upside. So a slate like this, I think Mark Ingram could end up being a cheat code as well.
Yeah, I like Ingram, and he seems to be the healthier of the two. I think he was, I think Kamara was limited. I think Ingram was a full go in practice. So, or at least in the walkthrough estimation, however you want to kind of define that. But yeah, like those guys, I think if you're looking at the Saints guys, you know, you might, you know, Taysom Hill, you might have to stack him with at least one player to win a tournament. I think.
Yeah, who is that though? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. So I like Tre'Quan Smith. He's been running around about 90% of the dropbacks over the last 4 weeks. So he's kind of taken over that number one receiver role from Marquez Callaway. And Tre'Quan Smith also is a guy that does pretty well against man coverage. And the Cowboys play that at one of the higher rates in the league. And then Juwan Johnson, I know you're kind of off of him after he didn't come through for you. Didn't Nick Vinette actually score a touchdown in that game?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I think Juwan Johnson watched him score the touchdown 5 feet away. It was so close.
Right. So, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, listen, you're never going to be able to fully project these Saints guys, but it makes the showdown slate pretty fun, in my opinion. But I think Juwan Johnson is a guy you go back to, because when you look at the routes run last week in that Saints and Bills game, Juwan Johnson led the tight ends. Nick Vinette's touchdown was pretty fluky there, because Juwan Johnson had 18 routes run. Nick Vinette had only 5 routes run. And then Garrett Griffin, the third tight end, had only 3. So, and Johnson's another guy pretty good against man coverage. So Smith and Johnson are like two of the Saints' top receivers in yards per route run against man coverage. So I think Juwan Johnson is a sneaky play here, and he's pretty cheap. So if he's the only Saints receiver, you stack with Taysom Hill, and it's a run heavy game plan, but maybe, you know, he gets a touchdown in the red zone throwing and like 2 rushing, that could be a slate breaker. So I like Juwan Johnson here. All right. That's going to wrap it up for our Thursday night showdown breakdown. Cowboys, Saints, again, make sure you follow and keep up to date with the news. You can check fantasylabs.com or actionnetwork.com. We'll have, you know, stuff on it as it comes out. But let's get into the main slate. Let's start with quarterback. Sean, who are your top 5 quarterbacks in fantasy headed into week 13?
So right now I got Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, and right now I have Kyler Murray number 5, but we'll have to monitor his injury updates throughout the week. But right now I have Murray number 5.
Oh, I like this. We have a pretty different top 5 this week. This should be interesting. So I have Tom Brady number 1. Because I mean, how can you not?
I agree. No argument here. Trust me.
At this point, like, I feel like this is the one where you might be meeting me here. I don't know. By the end of the week, I don't know how you 4. But all right. Lamar Jackson number 2. Now that he may actually go down. I mean, those 4 picks, Four. Yeah. I mean, Jesus. But Patrick Mahomes is 3rd. So we're in agreement there on Jackson Mahomes 2-3. But then I have Matthew Stafford 4th against that Jags defense. And then Justin Herbert 5th against that Bengals defense in what should be a high scoring game. So, you know, I think Herbert is more so just it's a total above 50, should be a shootout. And Stafford is just, I mean, the Jags kind of have a pass funnel defense because they're pretty good in run defense. You know, I know, you know, Jonathan Taylor will run all over them, but I still think Matthew Stafford's can kind of torch a weak defense here. And then the Rams really got to get back on track. And Darrell Henderson's banged up too. So I think you see a pass heavy game plan from the Rams in this spot. All right. Who do you like? Who do you like as some DFS cheat codes, top plays, values, guys you're higher on than the consensus at quarterback?
So you mentioned him. He's in your top 5, but I think Justin Herbert against the Bengals at 6,700, that's hard to pass up. And I know he had a rough, you know, real game last week, but for fantasy, he was still productive. He still threw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran for 36 yards. So that's 2 games in a row now. He's put up some solid rushing stats. So I think people are going to be off him, but, you know, he's one of those guys that's matchup proof. I think he'll bounce back. So I like him. I'm with you. I think this game's going to be sneaky, high scoring. So I like stacking it. So I like Herbert and those, you know, 7K type of guys. And then further down, I still like Tyler Heinicke at 5,600. You know, Curtis Samuel is pretty limited, but Logan Thomas is back. So I think that helps boost his upside in the passing game. And then he has that obvious rushing upside. Didn't really see it much last night, but, you know, he could blow up with a big dual threat kind of game here. So I like him at 5,600. And then we'll have to see with Justin Fields if he suits up this week, but at 5K, you know, I'm a bit worried that he might not see that rushing upside we've seen lately from him as they try to probably protect his ribs this week. But still at 5K, you can't deny his upside. So I might have a couple shares of Fields at 5K if he does suit up this week. And despite the tougher matchup against the Cardinals. But yeah, this is a week where I think I'm probably going to spend up and get a lot of Justin Herbert.
Yeah, for me, it's Tom Brady. I mean, he's not the most expensive quarterback. I think he should be. So going against this Falcons defense that, yeah. I mean, it's just bad. It's really bad. It's 29th in pass defense DVOA. You know, you're just going to see, it's just going to be easy complete. No pressure for Tom Brady. I mean, this is just a perfect matchup for him. So love him there. And then I do like Heinicke. Let's go to the prop at quarterback.
So let's go with Russell Wilson and projecting his passing yards this week. We all got to see him last night. I don't know if we could blame it all on the finger at this point. He made some pretty bad decisions. He ignored DK Metcalf for pretty much the entire game. And one play, he was wide open, ignored him. So what's going on there and where are you projecting him? I have him right now at 245 and a half passing yards against the Niners.
Let's see. I have Russ at closer to 260. Obviously still factoring in his full season production. You know, he's still been pretty efficient on the season. You know, I really don't know what's going on. It's hard to say, like, okay, he just fell off a cliff. I don't know. He almost seems like when he had that time off, he smoked weed for the first time. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, he's like, it's like a little slow. It's a little, the decisions are a little off, but it's not like, it's like he's there, but he's not there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you've ever tried to play sports high, but like, that's what Russell Wilson looks like.
Wow.
To me. I mean, I doubt he does but it wouldn't surprise me because he's never had time off. He's never missed games at like any level. And he like, you know, he's with Ciara. Pain, so
pain
he's
probably, yeah, right, pain management.
Yeah. Right. So that's what, I don't know. That's what it seems like to me. He just looks like he's playing quarterback high out there, and it's kind of fucking up the whole thing. And then it's like when he gets in the 2 minute drill, then he has to finally speed himself up, and it's like a little better. But like,
wow, so those three or four throws where he threw it like 30 feet over the receiver's head, that wasn't his pinky, that was just
Like it's like when the edible sets in, and you're just like, oh no. Like,
oh, so you're saying he was playing high? Holy shit! What an accusation this is.
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, is it Josh Gordon's back in the league? We can do that now.
Like, it beats fine. My theory of just not knowing what the hell's going on. So I guess you got at least some motive. Because it was beyond, you know, a finger issue. He was making weird mistakes that aren't characteristic of Russ Wilson. So yeah, something's up. Don't know what it is.
It's also schematic. Like, it's something with the scheme. Cause I talked about that even, you know, heading into the game in my breakdown, looking at the way they're playing on third downs, cause they're still really good on first and second down throwing the ball. But on third down, their number two target was Freddie Swain. And like, he was getting, and even yesterday it was like Swain, you know, obviously he was open for the touchdown. And then, but then he like forces one into him on the 2-point conversion that gets picked.
That was,
like,
bizarre.
Why is Freddie Swain? Like, it's almost like the Kirk Cousins issues from like years past, where it was like, stop like taking what the defense gives you and just throw to your best guys. Like, what are you doing?
Wilson didn't even see that defender that picked off that 2-point conversion. So maybe you're right. I'm going to think about that for a minute. But yeah, so what, and he was like campaigning to get Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
So what, he's going to ignore Beckham and Metcalf. How's that going to go? It's rough to see. And I hate that we were both on Seattle last night. That'll be the last time I bet on Russ for a while, until, you know, I can prove your theory wrong. But it was just bad.
Yeah, it's got to be schematic too. I mean Walt, like, because remember, Schottenheimer was willing to let Russ cook, and they opened it up, and then he got fired, even though Russ started on like a torrid stretch last year, and he was fired for philosophical differences. And then now it's like they can't do anything on third down, and Russ looks like hamstrung, and he lobbied for Schottenheimer. So Russ is, it's almost like maybe he's like passive aggressively, you know, kind of going outside of the framework of the offense that Waldron is calling. Cause Pete Carroll's always kind of held them back. He always wants to run, and they don't have a run. It's, I don't know. It's, I'm sure there'll be a lot of deep dives into it. Yeah. So we'll definitely get some good content off of it. But I think he's just high. At least I want to think that. I have no sources. Let me just clear that up right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to running back. Who are your top five for week 13?
So I got Jonathan Taylor, obviously. Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, because I have JD McKissick out. So Gibson's my RB4. And Leonard Fournette, running back 5. But this is a fun week. There's a lot of top guys out this week. So it's kind of a mess behind JT. What do you got?
Yeah, it's another one. This could change, but I have, Jonathan Taylor 1, Joe Mixon 2.
Nice.
Austin Eckler 3, Alexander Mattison 4, and Cordarrelle Patterson 5. And I have Jamal Williams 6. So, it's that kind of week. Yeah. I have Fournette 7th. He could move up to 5th, but Patterson, it's because of that dual threat ability. He doesn't really get knocked down for facing the Bucs run defense as much as a traditional running back would. So that's why he's kind of up there, and he's getting more and more of the carries than he ever has now. So yeah, love Patterson. We're going to keep riding him, but it should be an interesting week. Mattison has actually been priced up in DraftKings. So that, he's not going to necessarily be like one of those crazy value plays, but who do you like? Cause there are a lot of value plays here and options. Who do you like for your DFS cheat codes?
Well, I think, Jonathan Taylor's worth every penny even at 9,200 against the Texans. I just think he's going to go off this week. He's usually a good bet against bad teams. So he'll be highly rostered, but he's worth every penny.
What do you have for his yards per carry before we go on?
Oh my God.
You're going to like mine.
Yeah, he's in Nick Chubb territory, that's for sure. I think like 5.2.
I have him at 5.4.
He's 5.4.
I have him projected for 21 carries for 115 yards. No, 5.5, sorry. And he's I have him for 1.13 touchdowns, which is also... I don't think I've ever seen a back get more than a touchdown projection in my model. So this is, he's going to go.
Yeah, down. That's like back in the day when I first started making projections and LaDainian Tomlinson was in his prime. That's about the last time I had a projection that high, but I can't fault you there. Like those are probably too low, to be honest. We're probably being too conservative. He's popping in my models. And then I already mentioned him, Antonio Gibson. Are you projecting JD McKissick to play right now? Like, do you just have him in there?
I still have him in there. I mean, I saw him go out on the cart, but it was like, it just looked like he got like a regular concussion. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's a neck injury, but come back to me if you do remove him from your model, just, I want to hear where you have Gibson after the update. Cause like I said, he's in my top 5. So assuming McKissick is out this week, he'll be a free play at 5,700. His usage has been insane, but I mean, imagine if McKissick out, we'll see games like last week or last night where, 29 carries for 111 yards on the ground and 7 catches for 35 yards. That's really the hidden upside with McKissick potentially being out. Is Gibson's, he was a former receiver, so we know he can catch as a running back. So I'll be excited. It sucks that McKissick might miss some time, but, I'll be excited to see Gibson as a true workhorse back. So I'll want to have a ton of him this week if McKissick is ruled out. You mentioned Daryl Henderson's kind of banged up. I think Sony Michel, this is one of those weeks where he'd be sneaky, even if Henderson does play, just because this could be a blowout. Michel's, 4,300. So might have some shares of him. But I do think this like 6K range is kind of the sweet spot this week. You got guys like James Conner and Elijah Mitchell. They should have massive workloads. So I like, spending up at running back to kind of get these guys. Because like you said, guys like Alexander Mattison, and let me see who else. It just seems like some of these other guys
Mixon's
are priced up
to his right. Yeah, correct.
Mixon is correctly priced up, but it just opens up this door for guys like Connor and Mitchell. They're in that sweet spot for me where you can, spend up at receiver, save a little bit of money. But there aren't too many cheap options at running back. So I'm probably spending up at running back this week.
Yeah, I like all the guys you mentioned. I'm not going to rehash it here. You did a good job of that. So I'll just, mention Patterson again. I think especially in tournaments, people are going to be a little iffy about him because of the Bucs run defense. But at this point, he's just that focal point of that offense. He has 20 touch upside. And we saw even a guy like Myles Gaskin put up a big game against the Bucs D. So, it's not impossible. But another guy that, you know, he may make it into my cash lineups. If I don't go with a guy like Elijah Mitchell, I think Connor will probably be and Gibson will probably be regardless. But Jamal Williams, you know, he's going to have the brunt of the workload for Detroit. So, you know, Detroit is going to want to run the ball against Minnesota, and Minnesota has been a run funnel defense in terms of their efficiency. They're 10th in DVOA against the pass, 29th against the run. So, you know, with Williams kind of not only inheriting, you know, I have him projected for about 2/3 of the carries, but also 2/3 of the routes run out of the backfield. And that's pretty valuable in Detroit, where there's not really a lot of guys that are target hogs there. I mean, even TJ Hockenson, you expect them to catch, you know, 4 or 5 balls, but that's about it there. The receivers are all going to kind of be in that 3 to 3 catch range. So I think Williams could catch, you know, 4 or 5 passes himself. So really like him at 5,400, you know, with DeAndre Swift almost sure to miss this week. And then David Montgomery, he's still too cheap. The Cardinals are another team that easier to run on than to pass on. They are number 3 in pass defense, DVOA, but just 15th against the run. And Montgomery's been seeing pretty much all of the work in that backfield. You know, Khalil Herbert, we thought maybe he was going to kind of be a 1B or something like that to Montgomery after that good stretch. But Montgomery's just dominated the snaps, 85%, 95%, and 84% are Montgomery's snap counts in the 3 games since he came back from injury. So, like David Montgomery here as well.
Yeah, I love those calls, especially Jamal Williams. I mean, the Lions love running the ball even when they're losing. So I'm not worried about a potential trailing game script. And like you said, Minnesota is a run funnel defense right now. They could get Dalvin Tomlinson back this week, but they're still missing 3 of their starting 4 defensive linemen. So love the matchup as well. So yeah, Jamal Williams is probably one of the better bets for like these cheaper guys this week.
Yeah, and make sure to tune in to Convince Me this Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific for me to bet the Lions.
Oh, it's no, I already have dibs on it. First one into the Convince Me doc gets it.
But I already bet it. Like it's already in the app. It's already in the app. It came through yesterday. That was like a queer, easy, like the minute I saw that, I was like, I got to jump on this. All right, what are we doing for our prop at running back?
So I'm kind of forcing the issue here because I want to do an Alvin Kamara receiving prop, the first Taysom Hill start of the season. Granted, we don't even know if Alvin Kamara is playing, but I want to do this anyway. So where are you projecting Alvin Kamara's receiving yards, assuming he plays? I have the over-under set at 28.5.
I have about 25. So, you know, it's like I have the mean at 29. The median at about 25 and the mean at 29. So like it's just really kind of tough to know, not only with Taysom, like, cause again, I still think that was a small sample size.
Yeah.
I think they were using him as a decoy. I don't even know if they have that luxury. Cause they had Michael Thomas from those games, I believe. Yep. Right. Yeah. So now they don't even have that. So I don't know if they have that luxury.
They had Emmanuel Sanders too.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah. So I don't know if they have the luxury of using Kamara as a decoy, but also again, he's the less healthy of the two between him and Engram. So I'm kind of not giving him his full workload. And then he was already seeing a little bit less of a workload, you know, with Engram there versus with just Tony Jones and Ty Montgomery and Dwayne Washington backing him up. So all things considered, yeah, I don't know if we can expect like a huge monster receiving game from Kamara in this spot. If we see it, great, but I just don't think we can project it as of now.
How many passing yards are you projecting Taysom Hill for?
That's a good question. Let's
That's see. Probably the better prop, but had to force one at running back. So I'm at 180 right now. I have no idea like where I'm going to end up, but that's my starting point.
Oh, I have him at about, yeah, I have him about 170.
So, okay.
Yeah. Dallas defense pretty tough. So it knocks, like 180 is probably his baseline, but Dallas defense knocks him down a little bit. So,
yeah. So so this time last year, he had Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and even Jared Cook at tight end is an upgrade for, you know, what they have right now. So just the lack of, you know, weapons on offense should be a run heavy game plan. It's hard to project them anything more than like 180. So glad you're there with me.
Yeah, it should be an ugly game. I mean, that's the thing. I think Kamara, Ingram, they'll both see a lot of rushing attempts if Taysom Hill plays. But it would be one of those like Broncos games again where they just barely pass the ball. All right, let's go to receiver. Sean, who are your top five at receiver for week 13?
So I have Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, and Stephon Diggs. No Deebo Samuel, unfortunately. It sucks that he's going to miss this week, but yeah, that's my top five.
Yeah. I mean, at some point you figured he was going to get hurt. It's as much usage as he was getting.
I know. This is about the time I'd be asking you, how many rushing attempts are you giving Deebo Samuel? It was out of control. So man, it sucks that he's going to miss. He's fun to watch. And you've been calling that for weeks now. So it sucks to see him miss some time.
Yep. It's pouring out for Deebo for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. But my top five, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Deontay Johnson, and Keenan Allen. So I have Diggs actually as like a borderline wide receiver 1-2 going against the Patriots. They're top three in DVOA against number one receivers. They're top three in schedule adjusted yards allowed to number one receivers. So I just don't know if it's going to be like an above expectation game for anybody on that Bills pass game. So yeah, I have Deontay here. Kind of sneaking in. He's just been so consistent week in, week out. And he plays really well against man coverage, which Baltimore likes to run a ton.
Yeah, I have Deontay number six. So he's right there. Yeah. I take your point with Diggs, but he keeps producing for me in my top five. So I'm going to stick with him. Yeah. Where do you have Jamar Chase, though? Because this might be the first time he's not in your top five for about over a month. He's seen a bit of a dip lately. So just curious where you moved him down. He's my wide receiver 7 right now.
Yeah, I have him 9. I think okay. I have Thielen has jumped ahead of him. Let me see who it was. Yeah, Thielen jumped ahead of him. So, you know, with Chase, I still got him running almost around in almost every draft back. But yeah, it's Cincinnati's play volume has been weird. And Chase has had he's put up touchdowns in most of the games where he hasn't had a lot of yards. So you can't really knock him too much. But yeah, he's still in the top 10. But yeah, let's get into our DFS cheat codes for receivers. Sean, who do you like?
So T. Higgins is still under 6K, so going to have to go with him again at 5,800. Went off last week, 6 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown. His price went up $200. That's not enough, so sticking with him. And he's since week 8, he's averaged 3 more PPR points than Jamar Chase. So he's sort of been benefiting, I guess, from defenses trying to slow down Jamar Chase. So sticking with my boy T. Higgins here. And then, I mean, Brandon Ayuk, I feel bad because I had the under 55 and a half receiving yards last week and he just crushed it. So with Deebo out, he's a no brainer play at 5,600. He's, you know, in full on breakout mode at this point. He's the receiver that we remember from last year. He's my wide receiver 10 right now. So I'm not going to overlook him this week. I'm going to jam him in at 5,600. And then I love LaVisca Chenault at 4,400. With Jamal Agnew out for the season. Now Dan Arnold out. I think Chenault's going to have to see a bunch of targets going forward, whether Urban Meyer likes it or not. And the Rams, you know, they've been pretty susceptible to receivers like Chenault. You know, Randall Cobb went off 4 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown before he left the game due to an injury. So I think Chenault should eat up underneath. He's done really well against the zone this year. So this is a great spot for him. So I love him at 4,400. And then last but not least, I was talking about him as a great play for Thanksgiving, but Josh Reynolds still at 3,400. I think that's too cheap. He could be the Lions' number one receiver right now and going forward. He already has a ton of chemistry with Jared Goff from their days with the Rams. So he's running a route over 85% of the time right now. So love taking a flyer on him again this week after, you know, posting a nice 3-catch, 70-yard touchdown game on Thanksgiving. So love Josh Reynolds at 3,400.
It would have been nice if it was 69 yards, 70 yards.
Oh, he was, yeah, good. 1 yard above nice. Yeah,
Reynolds is inside my top 50 this week. He's at nice. Wide receiver 45. So, yeah, like that, like all of those guys. Ayuk, that's an interesting one. Well, we'll talk about him, I think, in a second, because Ayuk is actually interesting. I have him much lower than you do. And I was surprised that I did have him that low. But yeah, I think it's just because I knocked Jimmy Garoppolo's pass yards down. So we'll talk about that in a second. But as far as guys I like, mentioned Deontay already. I think you've got to keep playing him in cash games, just double digit points every week. for Deontay, and Pittsburgh has no choice but to just, throw. Their defense is just like now a problem all of a sudden. So, it's just a week in, week out thing. He's their top receiver against man coverage. Baltimore plays man at a top five rate. Hunter Renfrow, great game last week. Renfrow continues to play well. I think DeSean Jackson opens things up for him now, with the deep threat. And we also have Darren Waller out. So Renfrow is going to be that main target over the intermediate area. He might even pick up another target or two. So love him. And then both Odell Beckham and Van Jefferson. I know Odell has that questionable tag, but McVay said he's going to play. It's just like a hip pointer or something. So I expect Odell to play. And then Van Jefferson, both of those guys were on the field more than Cooper Kupp last week. They were both ran a route on above 95% of the dropbacks for Stafford last week. And now they get to Jaguars. So both of these guys are in my top 25, Odell and Jefferson. So I have Kupp, Jefferson, and Odell, all three in my top 25 right now against the Jags. So love both of those guys as well.
Yeah, I love the Jefferson call, especially, Beckham misses. It looks like Ben Skoronek and even J.J. Koski is questionable. So it could be just Kupp and Van Jefferson. I think I'm going to jam in Jefferson in our DK lineup.
Yeah.
Sneak peek. But I love the Jefferson call.
If I think Odell's going to play, but if he doesn't for some reason, you might get Landon Akers in three wide receiver sets. I had to look him up last week when he got called up because I had no idea who he was, but just that. It's like a possibility.
I would prefer Odell to play banged up just to be a decoy for Van Jefferson, right? I think either way, Van Jefferson is the play this week.
All right. Let's go to a prop.
So you hinted at it, but it's Brandon Ayuk receiving yards. And I'm curious why you're so low on him, because I thought I was pretty low on him last week. I've adjusted everything upwards. But I have him at 61.5. receiving yards, even though I'm like you, I lower Jimmy G closer to like 220 passing yards, but I still have a lot of that going to Ayuk. So are you higher or lower than 61.5?
I'm lower. I'm at 55. And I think it's interesting because with Debo out of the lineup, it's like, obviously Ayuk's, he's the number one receiver, and I have him projected to run almost a route on about 98% of the dropback. So, but his targets per route run this year is only 16%. And so it's like, obviously that goes up because he's competing with less guys around him. But I think that's what's holding him back a little bit. Cause a guy like George Kittle, he's at 22%. So Kittle's really the guy that benefits more in my model, from Debo going out. I have Kittle at 66 yards and Ayuk at 55. So, maybe I'll bump Ayuk up a little more because right now I have him as a borderline wide receiver two, which is, it's just surprising, but that's kind of why. It's just, he hasn't really seen a ton of targets on a per route basis, and San Francisco's not throwing a lot. So there is some variance there. Whereas like he could have a bad game if they just go run heavy, against Seattle, even if he is that number one receiver. So, yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. And I'm looking at the 16% figure right now too. And last week, I'm factoring in his recent usage quite a bit. So I have it, projected closer to 19.5% targets per route run. And I said that last week and he, I was still showing 10 yards of value on his under, and Chad was giving me crap, cause he's been on fire. I said, I'm factoring that in. But apparently we're not factoring in enough. So I'm way off that 16% figure for the season. He had that slow start, for whatever reason. So I'm weighing his past few games pretty heavily. So that's why I think, I'm looking to bet anything over 55. I think I would take the over there. But I think, he'll step up this week with Debo out.
Yeah, I might bump him up closer to 20. Debo is at about 26. Ayuk 16, maybe you kind of split the difference, give him about 21% as the number one receiver. Just wanted to get your opinion on that too. So that's interesting. All right, let's go to tight end. John, who are your top five at tight end for week 13?
So I have Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, Kyle Pitts, and then Gronk.
Yep, I have Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, Gronk, and then Pitts. Gronk has just been so good. I'm also very high on Brady, and Pitts is just, I guess it's because Atlanta's just, you know, it's Patterson. And but, it, you know, in terms of the guys lining up out wide, because Pitts is kind of more like a wide receiver, it's Pitts. And it's he's just been kind of easy to take away, especially in the red zone. He hasn't done as much as we would like. Down in the red zone. What if he's the new Julio Jones? Like, he just gets like yards and no touchdowns.
Well, he kind of is the new Julio Jones, right? He's the alpha receiver now. So I was going to ask you about that, his downslide. I mean, he's got big games coming.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's tricky to project, because I'm probably a little too bullish on him, but I'm going to stick with it. So he's my tight end 4.
Yeah. Right now he has one touchdown on 75 targets.
Brutal.
661 yards. So yes, that's Julio-esque. But that's the only reason. Gronk has just been, I mean, every game it seems like he's doing something. So all right, who do you like for your DFS G-Codes?
So I mean, with Darren Waller doubtful this week, Foster Moreau's just a free square play at 2700. I mean, the last time Waller was out was back in week 7, and Moreau posted a 6 catch for 6 yard with a touchdown game. I'm projecting him closer to, 4 catches, 45 yards, half a touchdown, but still at 2,700, he's a no-brainer play. I think he'll be pretty chalky. So if you want to pivot off him, that's probably fine in tournaments. I think that's why it kind of makes sense probably to spend up to get Mark Andrews at 6K, because he is far and away the number one tight end on the slate with Waller out. So he could be sneaky. You know, this is one of those slates. If everyone's on Moreau, you know, if you spend up for Andrews, you could have a pretty unique lineup compared to the rest of the field. So Andrews would be a good leverage play, I think, on this slate. And then Pat Freiermuth, sticking with him at 4,200 with Ebron out for the season. You know, Freiermuth is going to be a low-end tight end one the rest of the way. The Ravens have struggled against tight ends. They've allowed the third most PPR points to tight ends this year. So like Freiermuth at 4,200, he's the kind of guy I'm just going to jam in every week. Now that Dan Arnold's gone, I need somebody in that range.
Watch for the news on Freiermuth, because he entered the concussion protocol. So he's questionable for this.
Got it. Good call. Yeah. Hopefully he's able to return. And then just last but not least, CJ Uzoma. This is one of those weeks where he's under the radar again. We know he has blow up potential. So at 3,200, especially against the Chargers, who have been sort of a tight end funnel defense this season, I'll have some Uzoma shares because he's due for a blow up game.
Yeah, I like I definitely like Foster Moreau. Yeah, he's absolutely going to be, I think, the cash game free square. Yeah. There are some options though. Even in the middle of those studs, like I still like Gronk. You know, at 5,300, Dallas Goedert at 4,500. You know, he's running around at about 90% of the dropbacks, and the Jets are dead last in DVOA against tight end. So the only thing to monitor here is we may get Gardner Minshew in this game because Jalen Hurts has an ankle issue. So that is something to monitor. I don't know if it knocks Goddard too much if Minshew's there. I mean, they're obviously going to go run heavy regardless, but I think Goddard's still one of the top 2 targets. He's still running a route at a top 2 rate on the team along with Devontae Smith. So I think and they might actually have more pass attempts with Minshew just because Hurts.
Yeah.
He's going to scramble a bit even when they do drop back to pass. So, like Goddard a lot there. I think that's a great price for him. He's borderline top 5. Like he almost, if I just like flip like one ticker on my model, Goddard goes above Kyle Pitts this week. So, him a lot. And then Tyler Higbee, 3,800. Again, I just think like this, you got to target this Jags pass defense with the Rams. They're pissed off. They're coming off a bunch of losses and running back is banged up. This is a pass funnel defense, excuse me. So I like Higbee, who's running another guy running a route on pretty much every snap, you know, because tight ends usually struggle to get into that 90% range simply because they're going to block on about, 15% of the pass snaps. Maybe it's a play action or a third down or something like that. But Tyler Higbee, you know, these last 3 games, 96%, 96%, 93% in terms of the routes run per dropback. So at that kind of usage, you got to target him in some tournaments. And the Jaguars are 24th in DVOA against tight ends, so they haven't been good at defending the position. And one more guy I'll mention, kind of a way off the wall play, but you mentioned kind of pivoting on Foster Moreau. And one way to do it is obviously pay up to be a little bit contrarian. But another way to do it is do it at the same price point. And Brevin Jordan is still minimum priced, and he's taken over that starting tight end job for the Houston Texans. And then you're going against this a Colts defense that is 27th in DVOA against tight ends, and they are allowing the most schedule adjusted targets to tight ends by almost a full target. They're at 9.6. The second place team is 8.9, Seattle. So they're trying to play Jordan more and more. He was a draft pick for them this year, and they're making Jordan Akins, who is their starting tight end for most of the year, a healthy scratch just to get Jordan involved in the game plan. So in a game like this against the Colts, where Jonathan Taylor might score 10 touchdowns and the Colts might score 100 points because of it, I think Houston might have to throw a little more than they have had to in these last couple of weeks when they've been in some closer games or even positive game scripts. So like Brevin Jordan as a pivot off Foster Moreau.
Love the Brevin Jordan call. He was my tight end 25 last week because I've been watching. I mean, he's pretty legit. And like you said, once they made Akins inactive, it's clear they're in kind of like evaluation mode. And he's looked really good. So love that call. He's inside my top 25 this week. And obviously I love the Dallas Goedert call. And I'm curious, like, I think if Gardner Minshew starts, it's going to bump up Dallas Goedert for me, based on the passing yards projection alone, because they'll still be run heavy. But I mean, Jalen Hurts has only cracked 200 yards once in the past 8 games. So I think I'll be projecting Gardner Minshew for something like 210, 215 passing yards. I think those he's going to target Dallas Goedert pretty heavily. So I think that will actually help Goedert if Minshew starts this week.
Yeah. And Goddard's, he had that one game with injury, but outside of that, his routes run since Ertz was traded 88%, 84%, 83%, 90%, and 89%. So
yeah,
he's just running a ton of routes. He's not really blocking. They have Jackson and Stoll for that. So he's a great play, great value either way at 4,500. All right. What's our prop tight end?
Let's go with Foster Moreau's receiving yards. The line I have set is 38.5 receiving yards. You over or under that?
I go over. I have him at 41. So yeah, I'm about three and a half catches for 41 yards in this one. So like him, he's my tight end 9 right now. So it's hard to kind of go against him. Yeah, because you have to pencil him in for almost like essentially the Darren Waller workload there. So I have him projected for about 88%. Of the routes run, and then Daniel Helm for the other 20%.
Or Matt Bushman, whoever they use.
Yeah, well, Helm has been on the roster now because I think he plays special teams. But yeah, they'll call up Bushman probably. Yeah. But either way, Moreau's, I'm going to be projecting him for around 40 yards, about 80%, 80 to 85% of the routes at the lowest point. So
yeah, and he's available in 99% of Yahoo leagues. It's so rare these days that you'll have a top 10 tight end available in so many leagues. It's kind of a unique case, but yeah, Moreau, like you said, he fills basically replaces the Darren Waller role. He just doesn't see as many targets, but the underlying usage is there. So he has potential for, top 5 upside this week.
Ironic that they're facing Washington, which we had an exactly similar situation where you had Logan Thomas, who runs like 90% of the routes. Yeah. And then when he went down, it was Ricky Seals-Jones who did the same thing. And then when he went down, it was John Bates who did the same thing. So similar situation.
Yep.
Next up here on the Fantasy Flex is a segment we call Elite Entries, where Sean and I dive into the Prize Picks app and compare our player projections to the props to build some entries. Sean, start us off with your first Prize Pick Elite Entry for week number 13.
So I like the James Robinson over 52.5 rushing yards against the Rams. Yes, the Jags are huge underdogs, but what's new? That's typical for them. And James Robinson still produces week in and week out. So I think this is a bit low. He should still see 12 to 14 carries here. The Rams are the type of defense where they invite the run. So I'm sure Urban Meyer and the Jags will take the bait and Robinson will go over this. I'm projecting him closer to 62.5 rushing yards here. So I think this is 10 yards too low. So give me the over 52.5 rushing yards for James Robinson.
Yep, I have Robinson around 60 myself. For my first Prize Pick Elite Entry for week 13, I'm going with Stephon Diggs, under 74.5 receiving yards. He's been under this in 6 of 11 games, so more than half the time. New England is number 3 in both schedule adjusted receiving yards per game allowed to number one receivers and DVOA to number one receivers. So they've been limiting the volume. They've been limiting the efficiency. And Stephon Diggs is running a route only about 85% of the Bills' dropback. So they've been kind of taking him off the field a little bit and giving him some breathers for Emmanuel Sanders or Gabe Davis, guys like that. So I have Diggs closer to 65 yards. So I'm showing about 10 yards of value here. It's just a really tough matchup on Monday night against that Belichick defense. Sean, what do you like for your second Prize Pick Elite entry for week 13?
I like Kenny Golladay to go under 50 and a half receiving yards against the Dolphins. I think there's slight value here, even if Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney missed their second straight game. Last week, you know, Golladay only put up 50 receiving yards with both out. He struggled to get on the same page with Daniel Jones. So I think if either, you know, Sterling Shepard and or Kadarius Toney suit up this week, my projection for Golladay is going to be even lower. And plus, the Dolphins aren't a really good matchup for him on the outside. You know, he'll see a lot of Byron Jones, Xavien Howard. You know, the plus matchup is typically in the slot. So love locking this in earlier in the week at 50 and a half. Assuming this will go down once we get word on Shepard and or Toney possibly suiting up this week.
Yeah, I have Gowdy in the high 40s. Miami, you know, they have some good cornerbacks on the outside, and the defense is playing really well. For my second Prize Pick Elite entry for week 13, I'm going with Jimmy Garoppolo under 230 and a half passing yards. He's been under this in 6 of 10 games. I have him closer to 220. Remember, there's no Debo Samuel, who is averaging 91 and a half receiving yards per game and close to 11 yards per target. So the efficiency, I think, for Jimmy G is going to go down a bit. And they've got Elijah Mitchell healthy. Even their number two back now, Jeff Wilson, is healthy. So they have a lot of options to just run the ball. And that's what they've been doing. And that's what's turned their season around. So I do not expect a pass-heavy game plan here from the 49ers against the Seahawks team that can't seem to do anything offensively. So I don't think you're going to get a shootout type of game script here. So Jimmy Garoppolo under 230 and a half passing yards. And those are our Prize Pick Elite entries for today. As a recap, Sean's going with James Robinson over 52 and a half rushing yards and Kenny Golladay under 50 and a half receiving yards. And I'm going with Stephon Diggs under 74 and a half receiving yards and Jimmy Garoppolo under 230 and a half passing yards. As a reminder, Prize Picks markets move, so you want to get on the entries fast in order to lock in the best lines. If you haven't created a Prize Picks account yet, check out the link in our episode description and they'll match your first deposit up to $100. Or you can visit prizepicks.com and use the promo code ACTION10. That's ACTION10. Okay, now back to the show. All right, let's get into our lineup building segment where we like to build a tournament lineup for FanDuel and one for DraftKings. We'll start with DraftKings. Sean, I believe I went first last week, so you can start us off.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're all in on Tom Brady this week. I'm always all in on Tom Brady. So let's go with Tom Brady at quarterback and let's figure out some stacking options, but let's just start it off with the GOAT.
Love it. Okay. Well, I mean, we got to go Mike Evans here then, 6,700. You know, this guy scores a touchdown, seems like every week. Like the one against the Giants last week was nuts, but he's coming off a bad game. And, you know, so anytime Mike Evans is coming off a bad game, I mean, you just got like last time. So here, Mike Evans had four fantasy points, 4.6 fantasy points on DraftKings, right? Last game.
I see where this is going.
In week six.
Yep.
He had 4.7, so just a tenth of a point more. The next week, he had 31.6. He had three scores the next week after that. The other time,
week one to week two. Yeah.
Yep. 5.4 in week one, 24.5 in week two with two touchdowns. So every time he scores single digit fantasy points, he averages 2.5 touchdowns the week after. So usually, I think it's an accurate projection.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And usually we get an Arians quote saying we need to get the ball to Mike Evans more. Yeah. It's still Tuesday. So we have a couple days for that, but I'm assuming we'll get that too. But yeah, it's like clockwork. Anytime Mike Evans has a bad game, just load up on him. the very next game. So love the stack we have going. We probably have to spend down at some point. So I guess I'll go with a cheaper guy here. I'm going to just jam him in here because I love him that much. Josh Reynolds at 3,400. Still think he's going to be overlooked, even though he went off on Thanksgiving, but got to go with him here.
All right. Well, then let's get in some Van Jefferson to round out that receiving core. 5,300. So we still kind of we're not too expensive here at receiver with Evans at 67, Jefferson at 53, and Reynolds at 34. We still have an average of 5,480 remaining for two running backs, a tight end, a flex, and a D.
So if I knew for sure McKissick would be out, I would go with Gibson here, but I'm going to go with James Conner at 5,900. I think either way, James Conner is just a smash spot here. So let's jam him in there at 5,900.
All right. And then I'm going to go with a guy right above him in price that, you know, I think with Debo out, everyone's going to think about Kittle, Ayuk. Let's go Elijah Mitchell against a Seattle defense that's given up the most DraftKings points to running backs per game in the week. So Elijah Mitchell at 6K.
Love it. I'll do the honors of picking a defense here. I think you did that last week, so it's my turn. I like the Dolphins at 3,300, but they might be pretty chalky. Bengals, Raiders look good at their price.
Yeah, it's up to you. Yeah, I think, and yeah, none of those, we don't have any of those offenses, so any of them make sense.
Dolphins is the best play. I'm just worried they might be highly rostered, but I'm going to just jam them in here, 3,300.
I don't think you need, like in defense, I don't think you have to worry about ownership as much as just kind of, you know, the top scoring defenses of the week. Like it's going to be so hard to hit the right defense and the winning lineup that if you just get a decent one in there. All right. I'll go tight end and let you do the flex. So we have 6,100 average for tight end and flex. So we have some flexibility here at tight end. So we got Tom Brady, so we need him to throw 4 or 5 touchdowns. Yes. Let's just double stack him with Gronk.
Let's do it.
5,300. So you have 69, a nice 6,900 left over here.
Nice. For the flex. So let's see. We got for wide receiver guys like, ooh, Deontay. Do I need to even look any further than Deontay Johnson at 6,800?
Unless you want to go with Godwin at the triple stack.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, man. No, I think we have enough. We have all the touchdown scoring in that game, and hopefully Fournette, you know, spares us a couple touchdowns here.
Right.
But Deontay Johnson at 6,800, just can't pass that up.
Love it. Yeah. He's been so, so consistent. Mentioned it last week, but on DraftKings, look up and down his game logs. Just go in there and scroll. You will not find a single digit game in terms of his DraftKings points. No,
he's too good. And hopefully this week, you know, Chase Claypool, they get to play music. He'll be even better this week, right? You heard about that? The Steelers were a disaster. Chase Claypool thought the solution was to play music at practice, and Tomlin is letting him do it. So he's letting the receivers jam out while they practice. So Deontay Johnson to the moon, right? That'll fix everything.
When Tomlin has lost it, then it's over. Yeah. Like when he can't figure out how to motivate this team anymore, then when Chase Claypool was taking over for Tomlin, that's not good. All right, but no, I love it. I love the lineup here. We got Tom Brady at 7,200. Then our running backs are Elijah Mitchell at 6K and James Conner at 5,900. Our wide receivers are Mike Evans at 6,700. Van Jefferson at 5,300, Josh Reynolds at 3,400, with Deontay Johnson at wideout in the flex at 6,800. And then we have Gronk at tight end in the double stack with Brady and Evans. He's at 5,300. And then the Miami Dolphins, home favorites against the New York Giants at 3,300. And the Dolphins have 17 or more DraftKings points in 3 of their last 4 games. So pretty high upside lineup. Let's just hope no one gets ruled out for COVID or anything like that. But pretty good lineup. And a lineup that actually, even though we were making it for a tournament here, it's pretty cash game viable. Like, you know, with Deontay, Mitchell, I mean, all those guys are guys that I would play in cash games pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe not Reynolds, but.
Yeah, not Reynolds. I was going to say not Reynolds, but either way, he helps us kind of like spend up elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. He's just kind of like, you'll probably have Moreau in cash games and just be spending more at wide receiver. But yeah, there's a lot of options this week. So should be an interesting week. Let's start it off on FanDuel. And since we didn't go with him in our DraftKings lineup, let's go with Jamal Williams here at 6,500. He's a guy who I think just because there's so many other running back options, people might not be on him as a, you know, an underdog here. But again, this Vikings defense is bottom five in DVOA against the run. And we know the Lions have no chance but to run the ball here. So let's go Jamal at 6,500.
I like it. And I didn't use him in the DK lineup, but I'm going to force him in here. I'm going to go with another running back, Antonio Gibson at 6,200. Even if McKissick plays, he's probably a good deal at this price. He's priced the same as Devontae Freeman. Just for reference. So Gibson all the way here. He's probably going to be pretty chalky, especially if McKissick is out. But I've been waiting for this week for a while now. Gibson without McKissick would be just, you know, top five potential. So let's go with Gibson here.
All right. So I'm going to know another guy who I feel like he's never priced as high as he should be. And maybe it's because FanDuel is half PPR, so they're not giving him enough credit. But Keenan Allen at 7,300. Cincinnati has given up the most FanDuel points per game to opposing wide receivers. So let's go with Keenan Allen here at 7,300.
Never going to argue with Keenan Allen. That guy is just too good. Let's go with T. Higgins. I think he's too cheap on FanDuel as well. He's 6,600. So I didn't get to use him on DK. Let's go T. Higgins at 6,600.
All right. And that gives us a little correlation there. Keenan Allen, T. Higgins.
Oh, nice. Yep.
All right, so let's go Justin Herbert at quarterback then. Since we got Allen and Higgins here, we're going to stack Herbert with Allen and roll from there.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I think he bounces back. Big game here. Hopefully you can connect with Keenan on a touchdown. That would be lovely. like, we're going to struggle to fill out the rest of the lineup.
Hey, we can always go Jonathan Taylor, so.
yeah, you know what? Yeah, that would be good. So let's go Moreau here, and we just have to spend up.
All right, so Moreau at 5K. So yeah, let's balance it out with Jonathan Taylor. At 10-5 in the flex. So now we have an average of 48.50 for a defense and a wide receiver.
I guess we should go defense. I have a better idea of what receiver.
I mean, we could go with the Dolphins again at 4K.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go the Dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, they're just the best value on the board.
5,700. Yeah. 5,700. You have options with that at least.
Yeah. I can work with that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Yeah. Let's go with LaVisca Chenault here. Nice. You know, he's a guy that they talked about getting him more involved in the run game last week and it didn't happen. So I still think there's some upside there. And, Marvin Jones, you know, he hasn't been their guy against zone coverage, which is odd. And the Rams play the second most zone. So yeah, let's go with Chenault at 5,400. So
love it.
All right. We got Justin Herbert, 8,200, Jamal Williams at 6,500 and Antonio Gibson at 6,200 at running back. Then Keenan Allen, 7,300 at wide receiver, along with T. Higgins at 6,600 and LaVisca Chenault Jr. at 5,400. Then Foster Moreau, the chalk tight end at 5K and Jonathan Taylor at 10-5 in the flex and Miami at 4K at defense. And I just thought of another interesting pivot off this lineup. We could probably go with Brevin Jordan, like with the stack with Jonathan Taylor. And then I think we'd get even more at receiver. So we'll keep it this way just because we already made it. But that's just another option if you guys at home are thinking about some kind of ways to pivot and build lineups for this week.
Yeah, I like that call.
All right. So that is going to do it for our lineup building segment. That is going to do it for Fantasy Flex Main Slate Podcast for Week 13, presented by Prize Picks. You can find Sean Kerner on Twitter at @_oddsmaker. You can find me on Twitter at @ChrisRaybon. And you can find us at those same handles in the free award-winning Action Network app, where you can follow all of our bets, including our player prop bets, and track yours for free. You can find our fantasy football rankings and projections at actionnetwork.com. And you can find our DFS content, tools, and models at fantasylabs.com. Until next time, get this money.